Yo. Hello and welcome to the inaugural podcast for the Woolly Yarmouth.
Hey!
Plenty to get through today. We'll be talking music news as Explosions in the Sky and Kanye West reveal details about forthcoming albums. We'll take a look at the nominations for the Oscars, as well as reviewing Black Swan and The King's Speech. And in football, we'll be talking Arsenal, Manchester United and Andy Gray. All that and plenty of music to be played along the way. The Woolly Yarmouth can't be here today. He's at a job interview with Sky Sports. And so I'm joined by Paul, our film expert Liam.
Hello.
And of course, producer Chris.
Hello.
How are we, guys? Are we all right?
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Excellent. So let's get straight into it then. Talk about Explosion in the Sky's new album. It's the first one since All of a Sudden I Miss Everyone in 2007. It's called Take Care, Take Care, Take Care. Are we excited about this?
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. The last album wasn't that good though, I don't think. I wasn't too keen on it. I thought it was good, but they had set such high standards that I just don't think it matched up to them, personally.
I'm excited. I'm excited just by the fact that the intro thing that they've posted on YouTube basically just sounds like a drum kit underwater, and I'm still excited. So
did they play it underwater?
I don't know. I'm looking into that. They might need a new drummer.
That'd be a good gig if they did it underwater. That'd be impressive.
I'd go.
Yeah, that would
hold my breath for a long time. So.
But, so we don't think the last one was as good as The Earth Is Not a Cold Dead Place or anything else they've done.
I think they're one of those bands that just kind of had a sound and loads of people ripped off that sound and they're running the risk of ripping off their own sound now, I think.
Yeah. But they're playing shows across America and Europe, and they'll be in England, in London, playing the Roundhouse on May the 19th, which I think we'll all probably be trying to get tickets for.
Yeah. Roundhouse, good venue as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit annoying sometimes though, because there's no, like, most venues have a, what would you call that?
A roof?
No, slope. Silly. A slope.
Slope.
That's the one.
Liam slopes in with slope.
Sloping.
You know, and this one doesn't. And so if you're at the back, you really can't see.
Right.
You can't see anything. So you have to go around the side. And then you can't see because there's amps in the way. Get there early.
Avoid the amps.
Last time I saw them live, one of their amps caught fire.
Yeah?
At the Astoria, yeah.
Is that intentional? Or?
That sounds quite good.
It's expensive pyrotechnics if it was. No, I think that they were just playing their last tune and they kind of stopped and all started looking at each other. And I did think, that's a lot of dry ice. And it wasn't dry ice. It was a Marshall stack on fire. And they had to just kind of stop and go, sorry, guys, the amp's on fire. Bit of an anticlimax to a gig.
I've only seen him once, and it was at Highbury Garage. And you know when you go and see a band and there's that guy in front of you who sings every word and sort of plays every riff? He was doing that, but for a band like Explosion in the Sky, of course, have no lyrics. Yeah. He was literally just basically prompting to his friend when the next bit was going to come in and the next change.
That's annoying.
Here
comes the next good bit.
Yeah. It made it worse.
Especially when the songs are like 12 minutes long as well. Just
doing that for 12 minutes.
Eighth minute coming up. Get ready.
Minute 10's very good.
I stood next to a guy singing. I was watching Sigur Rós at Alexandra Palace, and he was singing along to Sigur Rós.
Oh, really?
That's impressive.
Well,
yeah, it's annoying, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive he knew the words that don't really exist, but he was just kind of...
What, you're telling me Uzhilo, 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 Uphilo isn't real Icelandic?
I'm not sure. I don't speak Icelandic.
Well, I do, and it is.
I'm not sure he did. I'm not sure he did. I think he was just kind of going... which is annoying.
Sounds like whale song.
Yeah.
he was echolocating.
Yeah, that is horrible when you end up the one guy at a gig next to a whale.
That's a cow.
Is he booing?
The Woolly Yarmouth loves music. He suspects you love it too. Check out our weekly playlist every Friday. woollyyarmouth.wordpress.com. Let's leave Explosions in the Sky and gigs and everything.
All right.
And talk about Kanye West. He's been on Twitter again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is always our favourite thing.
I'm gonna have to start following him because I've heard some of the stuff he said.
Yeah,
and it's brilliant.
Yeah, no, you in absolutely
a stupid way.
He's the best. I feel like Twitter was probably made for Kanye West years before he even knew it existed. The writing was on the wall. But some of the stuff he comes out with. But this, he just sort of said the other day in all caps. This is my new album coming this summer. So
That's exciting.
The guy's just released an amazing album, like the back end of last year. Mm. And rather than stew on that, it went platinum pretty quickly, I think. And rather than stew on that, he's bringing out another new album. And of course, he's got that collaborative album with Jay-Z coming out before that.
Mm.
So it's nice to see someone strike while the iron's hot.
And he's still got time to tweet, which is impressive.
Yeah, well, this was in the studio. So he painted an image where he's just chilling in the studio. And he's watching the NFL playoffs, watching the Chicago Bears, from Chicago and everything. And then he just explodes with this, all caps, my new album coming this summer, and follows it up with, this is high-end rap music. I don't know what high-end rap music consists of. I mean, is that...
I don't know. Yeah. Rap with monocles? I don't know.
Is he exclusively just rapping about high-end things?
high-end stories.
Just a shopping list of expensive items. Yeah. Get increasingly expensive as the album progresses.
Marks and Spencer's, baby.
Shout out to Waitrose.
But that's not the best one either. That, like, the best one is, I just threw some bassoon on this motherfucker.
I love the fact that he's just sitting there like, what can I tweet about this? This track's going really well. I just threw some bassoon on this motherfucker.
What do you think came first, though, the tweet or the bassoon? Maybe he's sitting there like, I need to tweet something.
Yeah, he only put stuff on his album to justify his tweets.
It's all an elaborate sham.
One of the songs is just going to...
There's like his producer sitting in the studio reading Twitter. Why is he tweeting about a bassoon? I don't know any bassoonists.
I just can imagine that he was sitting there like at the desk, you know, and he's listening to this track, and it's the best track on this album whenever it comes out. And he just thinks, what can I do to this track to make it even better? And then just pulls a bassoon out. and then he's just in the studio. Like, I like to think Kanye West can play bassoon as well. I don't think he can.
Definitely play
just, he can.
Just okay. Stunned faces in the control room in the studio. Guy comes through on the talkback.
Kanye, what is that? What is that?
It's a bassoon, motherfucker. I'm gonna lay
check my
bassoon.
Twitter feed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still listening to that album.
Yeah,
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. I think it's one of the best. I think it's his best since College Dropout.
Mm.
That's what I'm listening to. What's everyone else been listening to, Liam?
Well, because I'm the film expert, I should probably talk about film stuff.
Okay.
So I've been listening to Daft Punk's Tron Legacy soundtrack, which is actually pretty good because it's kind of, what's good about it is that it sort of melds, it's definitely a Daft Punk sound to it, but it's also sort of a conventional film score as well. So it's kind of the good bits of both, really, and it works really well because it could have just sounded like Daft Punk making, you know, just sticking a Daft Punk album over a film where it's quite sympathetic to the needs of the film, I suppose.
I'm not sure that there's a band that's probably better to do a soundtrack for Tron than Daft Punk.
No.
I haven't seen the Tron film. Is it any good?
I liked it. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. It's kind of, it is a big, dumb sort of 3D blockbuster.
Right.
I liked it. It was stupid. It was a ridiculous mess, but it looked nice. So that's my Tron Legacy review.
It was high end 80s. It was high end.
Kanye would love it. Throw Paul, some bassoon on that one.
Paul, I know you were struggling with this question.
Yeah, earlier. Yeah. Well, I was trying to think what I've been listening to, and I've been listening to the Beatles a lot, and. I don't know if people would really have heard of them, so I didn't want to bring it up and sound all, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's this little band called The Beatles. They're from Liverpool.
Right. What album? Anything specific?
Abbey Road, mainly.
Abbey Road.
Yeah. Mm.
Favourite song at the moment?
Favourite song is probably Something, but then there's also track four. I don't know what it's called. The one
is
you
it?
Like.
Oh, Darling. Yeah, oh, Darling is just the greatest.
Yeah.
What a song.
That's really probably a good song. Question. What is everybody's favourite Beatles song?
Oh, you...
Is that too big a question?
Not... I think as my role as producer, I think I need to cut this conversation. We run the risk of making this podcast about 3 hours long and not talk about anything other than Kanye West and the Beatles.
Yeah, I think
is Kanye West the new Beatles?
No.
No.
So, there you go. That's cut short.
Chris, recommendations?
I've been listening to the Decemberists record. That's good.
Should we play a song?
Yes.
I think we should.
Let's get a song on. We'll start with Sons of Guns. That was Coup de Grace by Sons of Guns there. Like I said before, an absolute tune. I think everyone's in agreement in here.
Yeah.
Yay.
Where did they record that?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. They recorded it with me here at Sound Arc Studios, where this podcast is being recorded. So get in touch if you'd like any recording. I'm not going to go into a spiel about why you should record here. But
it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can like Sound Arc on Facebook, and they've got a website as well, which I think is soundarc.com. Let's move on. Let's talk about film. Oscar nominations were made yesterday. King's Speech got 12. True Grit, 10. Inception and Social Network, 8. The Fighter and 127 Hours, 6. Black Swan, Winter's Bone and Toy Story 3 got 5. That's the main ones. King's Speech, I think everyone or a few people here have seen King's Speech.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Liam, thoughts?
I thought it was good and I enjoyed it, but I've already seen two better films this month. Right. I mean, that's that, you know, I'm not harshly criticizing it. It's a very good film, it's a very well made film, but yeah, I mean, it's the kind of film Oscar loves. You know, it's got
Oscar.
Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar. Yeah, he's in charge of it.
I love this film.
Yeah, it's very good.
Definitely, the King's Speech. Put a monkey on it. It's going on with everything. I sympathised with the King's predicament.
But yeah, it's definitely very sort of Oscar-friendly filmmaking. And I think that's, it's, you know, it's already done very well at sort of other award ceremonies already. And I think you'd be quite hard-pressed to pick another film that's probably going to beat it, especially sort of win the Best Actor category for Colin Firth.
Yeah, he's really good in it. Isn't he?
Yeah, and that's the thing, he's very good. Everyone's very good in it. But it's kind of, for me, it didn't grab me in the way, sort of, I've seen 127 Hours this month and Black Swan, it didn't grab me in the same way that they do. But maybe, you know, it's not its intention to do something particularly radical.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess you've got to judge it on its own merits, not its own merits. It is a good film.
There's something impressive, though, I think, about making the film. It's such a bad premise for a film.
Mm.
You know, King can't talk properly, has speech therapy. Does a speech.
Hmm.
I've ruined it for everyone now because that is what happens.
Gareth Gates liked it. He was everywhere. He came out of the woodwork, didn't he? All of a sudden, Gareth Gates pops up.
Gates is back.
Yeah, look at what. Who called him?
Any excuse. Well, any excuse, yeah, to launch.
Exactly.
Launch his pop career.
But yeah. Interesting, you mention Black Swan then, because that is in your list, is it not?
It is indeed. I did put Black Swan on my list, and I feel quite pleased with myself that I did because it was a very good film.
It was good.
So
that was a question. That sounded like a statement. It was a question. It was good.
It was good.
It was surprisingly gruesome because a film about ballet, I thought it was one just to take your girlfriend to see.
Yeah. Now, well, funny you mentioned that. My mum had said, I want to go and see it. I think it looks nice. I think it looks nice. And I knew what it was about. I knew where it was going. It's sort of quite psychological. It's dark. It's sort of elements of body horror and it gets quite creepy. And I was like, Mum, I think you should go and see The King's Speech. And I think that's the difference between the two films, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Mum, Gareth Gates didn't like The Black Swan. Just so you know.
But back to the Oscar nominations, Liam. Any surprises, really? I mean, King's Speech has got 12.
Not surprises. I just think it's kind of every year Oscar sort of... I keep calling it Oscar. Every year the Grouch chooses, you know. I mean, there's nothing surprising in sort of, unlike other years where certain films have got missed off, it's not sort of as, there aren't any massively glaring omissions. I think one of the big ones is Christopher Nolan didn't get a nomination for Best Director for Inception, which I think anyone who's seen it, you know, that is quite surprising because it is such a well-directed film and it's you know, he wrote it as well. I know they've got nods for sort of editing and screenwriting and things, but
True Grit has 10 over Inception and The Social Network. I haven't seen True Grit. What do we think about that?
Well, it's not out yet, but I think every sort of advance word on it has been that it's a very, very good film, and it is the Coen brothers, so it's kind of generally kind of get you get good quality. I mean, in the article I've done online. Written online, I sort of compare the Coen brothers and their recent output to Pixar, sort of terms of quality and quantity, because I think there aren't really many other sort of people out there right now who are making films as sort of individual and as good as those two, as those two groups. So,
any other picks from your list of most anticipated films?
Well, I think kind of I'll talk about the top two. Kind of like I put Tintin at number two, which is the new Spielberg and Peter Jackson movie, which is coming out towards the end of the year. Do we all know about Tintin, the cartoon?
As in Hergé's Adventures Of?
Yes, right. Yeah. Little Belgian man with his little dog.
Right.
But
I didn't know they were making a film on it.
No, they have. Yeah. It's kind of motion capture, sort of like the Polar Express or the Beowulf.
Right,
was.
Okay.
And yeah, it's that, and the script's written by Joe Cornish of Adam and Joe, and Stephen Moffat, who's done sort of lots of episodes of Doctor Who and runs Doctor Who. So that should be really good. That should be a really cool film, as I've mentioned online. plug. And number one, I've put Super 8, which is coming out sort of middle of this year, which is J.J. Abrams' new film. J.J. Abrams of Lost, and he did Star Trek 2 years ago. And that should be good. That's with Spielberg. It's a very Spielberg-heavy year this year. He's got two films out himself, and he's sort of exec producing Super 8 and like the new Transformers film. So I think it should be a good year. It should be an exciting year.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like there's a good crux of films. I can't remember thinking I wanted to go to the cinema as much as I do this year.
Mm.
It just seems...
Because I remember you mentioning The Fighter to me. You thought that looked...
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, I've got to admit, I'm a big fan of Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark.
I know that polarises people because you think he's kind of just an idiot, tough guy.
My friend's got a theory about Mark Wahlberg, which is he's brilliant when he doesn't have to carry the film himself, when he's right. like a supporting role. But when he's in the sort of the thick of it, he's terrible. But apparently The Fighter is the exception to that. Because lest we forget Planet of the Apes, which is sort of the opposite of him doing any good work. But
So I started the year by going to see Love and Other Drugs. So yeah. I did go through a period of never wanting to go to the cinema ever again.
Yeah.
But fortunately, The Black Swan kind of reversed that lull.
Yeah, Love and Other Drugs was not good.
It was awful. It was really awful. Truly.
It kind of bolts an interesting idea, which is dealing with the whole... One of the characters, Anne Hathaway's character, has Parkinson's, doesn't she? And she is kind of dealing with that with... standard rom-com, and it doesn't work.
I think it epitomises the rom-com's ability to take something quite sincere and serious and with a lot of depth and making it terrible.
Oh, this is the Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen a trailer for it. It didn't appeal to me.
Just awful.
Read about the Willie Yarmouth most anticipated films of 2011 at willieyarmouth.wordpress.com.
Should we play another song?
Yeah,
I think we should.
Yes, let's play Stu O'Connor. Let's play Map of Shibuya, which is from his latest album, Good Times with Evil.
Good Times with Evil.
The fuel you find helps to medicate your active mind. But then it seems by morning you are thinking back in real time. You have the memories of Chiba to help yourself to realize that you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be. Yeah.
So Mappy should be there from Sinead O'Connor. Excellent song from his album Good Times of Evil. Let's talk about the football, shall we? From the League Cup last night, Arsenal in the semi-final second leg overturned a 1-0 deficit from Portman Road to beat Ipswich Town 3-0 at the Emirates. I think that's pretty much what we're all expecting. Anyone realistically think Ipswich would spring a surprise?
Only because I'm a pessimistic Arsenal fan and I was a bit worried that we'd gone 1-0 down, but no, not really.
Right. No, I don't think anyone was really expecting any upsets there, really.
No. Even Paul Jewell, like, he looked like, oh, we're going to lose. Oh, well.
He was happy to be there.
The thing about Paul Jewell as well is that when Ipswich won that game against Arsenal at Portman Road, he was in the stands, but he wasn't officially in charge of the team. So he hadn't given that team talk. So when Tamás Priskin gave him the lead and they won 1-0 in the first leg, he sort of built a rod for his own back by not being in charge of the team. He's taken him to Emirates and they've got stuffed. And everyone can sort of blame him.
Yeah. Well, in interviews and that, he's just saying, oh, yeah, we're going to go out there, we're going to enjoy it, you know, we need a miracle to beat him. It's like, you can't. Who's going to... Yeah. Your team will go, oh, sure.
Right.
Okay, good.
You're sort of warming up on the centre spot, you know, waiting to play. You kind of look over to the manager for some kind of encouragement, and he just kind of shrugs.
he's there praying.
We have
got a lead, but... I don't fancy us.
Have you seen these guys? They are good. Aren't they good?
He said that after
the game.
If
anything, I was underprepared.
You being an Arsenal fan, Liam, how do you feel about this, the League Cup? Because it's not the...
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of, for a long time, I've sort of been a bit dismissive of it, especially because Spurs won it a while ago. And you know, I would have sort of mates, Jamie, for example, who support Spurs, and I can't really endorse it. But... it would be good for the club to win something.
So Jamie's been a big fan of the League Cup for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I think it's a very valid piece of silverware. An excellent route into European competition. And in no way disrupts the fixtures of the Premier League or any other cup for that matter. I think it's great.
And you can say that completely objectively, which is great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like, if we win it, awesome, but... You know, it's not really what Arsenal want to win, I suppose. You'd always take the league, or, you know, we'll get into the latter stage of the Champions League over that, personally.
As a Sheffield Wednesday fan, I'd take it.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's gonna be difficult is winning the Premier League now, especially with Manchester United last night, who were 2-0 down against Blackpool at Bloomfield Road at half-time. I mean, they throw on some lad called Giggs for Darren Gibson. And Chicharito as well, Javier Hernandez, and they score 3 goals in the space of about 16 minutes. And that extends their unbeaten run to 28 games. I suppose that's what champions do.
Yeah, that's
it was one of those moments, the moment they scored, you kind of just got the impression of, they're going to win it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter whether it was the, you know, half-time whistle that they scored or, you know, 89th minute, the moment they got a goal, it was like the entire... sort of vibe change to everyone just going, yeah, it's in the bag for them now. They've got that one.
Well, I get, like, when I watch Man United and they go like 2-0 down before half time, I'm like, oh, this will be a good game because Man United are going to come back and win. I get more excited when they go down because they're so good at coming back, and they inevitably do. Like when they came back against Tottenham, I remember saying to our friend, you know, oh, Man U are probably going to win this 6-2. I think it was 5-2, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It just, that's what they do. That's what they do, though, and that's why they win leagues, you know, because they... and I think it's a lot to do with the other team, just going, now we're 2-0 up. Man U might come back now. And then once that's in your brain, you know, you sort of...
Yeah, it is possibly like a psychological... You know, that you know they've done that before, and then all of a sudden you think, oh, they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And then they can.
Exactly. You know,
they've got that way in.
Rooney was getting a lot of stick after last night as well.
Well, Rooney was replaced by Chicharito, who scored the goal. And Chicharito's had a better season than Rooney. There's no secret that Rooney's had a pretty disastrous 12 months, you know, off the back of the World Cup and coming into the new year. But again, last night didn't perform, didn't turn it on. But one player who is Dimitar Berbatov, who scored 2 goals. I think he's on 20 for the season now already. I mean, 19 in the league and one in one of the cups, I think. So, you know, he doesn't run around like a Rooney or a Tevez, and everybody knows this about him, but still he cops a load of criticism for it. But I think you can't argue with a striker, regardless of how much he looks like he's just shrugging his shoulders and jogging around. If he scores 20 goals in a season, if he doesn't score any more goals this season, he's done his job, more or less. You know?
And that's the interesting thing about Rooney not playing well, the fact that Man U still are playing well without effectively their star player playing as well as he can do, you know, to anywhere near as well as he can do.
Last season, a lot of people said that he was carrying the team because he went on that ridiculous run of goals.
Yeah.
And this year, like you say, they haven't needed him, which I think must be refreshing for United fans. And it's put them very much in control. I think it's theirs to lose now. You think that's fair to say?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Is Darren Bent worth $18 million to Aston Villa? Read more at woolyyarmouth.wordpress.com.
Chelsea won as well this week on Monday, 4-0 against Bolton Wanderers. Another one where, you know, Chelsea have been off form, but...
Is that like three in a row they've won now or something? They've got a little bit of a run together.
Yeah, but they've done it without... It was a good performance, but they're still not really hit their stride. They're not playing as a Chelsea that... We know they can be, that sort of at the start of the season when they were just winning and scoring goals for fun, they just looked unstoppable again. They carried on as they had from last season, but that's another thing that keeps you in contention. You're not playing well and you still manage to score four goals.
I think that's what's making this season quite interesting. Is I think you've got a lot of clubs who are underperforming and still winning games, so it's really tricky to be able to tell where it's going to go.
Yeah,
and you've got teams, I suppose, as well, who are overperforming, like Sunderland, who are in sixth, and Blackburn are up in seventh now.
Yeah,
you know, it's
a crazy old game.
It's a funny season. Speaking of crazy, we can't really not talk about Andy Gray.
He's right though, isn't he?
At the end of the day, you can't say stuff like that when you're in a position of sort of responsibility like he is.
Exactly.
She, Char Massey, her name was, the assistant referee. She had a very good game as well.
She made a really good decision about 5 minutes previous to them, you know, joking about it. But
what gets me about the whole thing now is that, you know, women play football and understand football. And
I know, it's mad, don't... isn't it? It's bonkers, frankly.
What do they think they're doing?
I know, they're just strolling and understand the game.
But take, for example, the World Cup when England played Germany and Frank Lampard scored a goal across the line by 2 yards.
I thought you were going to say a woman.
Crossed a woman. and the linesman, the assistant didn't give it. You know, that's a man making that decision.
Or was it?
Well,
was it a woman in disguise?
Well, in
all
case.
Of these decisions that have been creeping in. Yeah, where are they?
They're insidious.
Yes.
But, I mean, the point
you see,
remains.
I have to adopt my Daily Mail voice to make that sort of...
And the face as well.
Yeah,
the
see,
face
this is what... There. If Andy Gray and Richard Keats had just put on a Daily Mail voice, then they could be sexist and people would know they were being ironic. They would have got away with it.
Yeah. Maybe that's the future for Andy Gray. Maybe there's a column in the Daily Mail with his name on it now.
Yeah.
I reckon probably.
Why
actually,
women shouldn't play football by Andy Gray.
Yeah, but you're right. I think that's the thing. I think the main problem will be when female officials become more... popular, they'll start making mistakes because humans make mistakes, and then their finger will come like, oh, it's because it was a woman. You know, someone somewhere, probably in the Daily Mail, will make that point. And it's just ridiculous because there's mistakes made all the time in the game. You know, it's just...
I think the most important thing that no one's really brought up yet is that what a FIFA on the PlayStation, Xbox, are they going to fire Andy Gray as well? I mean, have they released a statement? I mean, you know what?
They haven't released one. I assume they will though, because they shoot for realism, don't they? And
yeah, well, it's Martin Tyler and Andy Gray. This is the Sky Dream Team. You know,
so
on FIFA.
Do they get Big Sam in? Who do they parachute in to replace him?
I think Davina McCall's in with a shot.
The world's gone mad when there's female commentators on FIFA.
Davina McCall and Fern Cotton.
Dear Electronic Arts, what are you playing at?
But that's it. The EA slogan: if it's in the game, it's in the game.
Yeah.
So maybe they have to start putting women linesmen in their games and.
Or sexist commentators.
So it could keep Andy Gray.
They could go completely the other way and keep him. And get Richard Keys in as well to present.
Yeah.
And just have Sexism. Just have, you can broad just have, like, sexism.
Yeah, just have a sexist cheat. Where you, certain combination, and it's, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Was that Churchill?
Sexist.
Sexist insurance
that was,
dog.
That was, yeah, that was me wussing out of a Scottish accent.
Oh, I'm not going to do that.
Back to Arsenal in the League Cup. It's going to be Birmingham or West Ham. We'll know by the time this goes out, I would have thought.
Because this is recorded in the past.
It is recorded
long ago. Or is it listened to in the future?
Yeah, we didn't record it in the past. We recorded it now, in the present. Just be listened to in the future.
No, you're missing my moment.
Now is the past.
But can either team realistically trouble Arsenal?
No.
No, not even at Wembley on a one-off cup final.
You can keep raising your intonation, Jamie. The answer's still no.
I think that's pretty much 100% no. From the room.
Another little interesting fact for you. I say interesting, probably not really.
It's a good way to big it up.
All of the bottom three in the Premier League at the moment, their names all start with W.
Well,
it's a conspiracy.
So there's that for you.
Well, that is an interesting fact.
Yeah, Wigan in 18th, Wolves in 19th, and West Ham.
www.relegation.com.
Oh, nice.
Nicely done.
There you go.
Well played. Well played. Oh, yeah. I think it's time to play another song.
Yes.
I think this has run its course.
We've run this into the ground.
We've got an exclusive, actually, from the October game. It's called 10 Paces. It's from their EP Split, coming up with Tudar, a band they know very well. This is called 10 Paces.
So just want to say, this is so exclusive that we haven't heard it.
We haven't
the
even...
The first time I hear this will be when I download this podcast.
In the future.
You'll confuse me again. Just play the song.
Told her I'd surrender to her. She won't take me alive. I told her I'd surrender to her. She won't go without a fight. And I just can't wait for guns to dawn. Can't wait for pistols, 10 paces. I can't wait for guns to dawn. No, I just can't wait for pistols, 10 paces.
the Woolly Yarmouth.
So that just about does it for the first ever Woolly Yarmouth podcast. Thanks to Paul.
Thanks to the Woolly Yarmouth.
Thanks to Liam.
Thank you, Woolly Yarmouth.
And thanks to Chris.
Thanks, Woolly Yarmouth.
You can catch up with us on Facebook by liking us. Just give us a search and we should pop up. It's WOOLLY Yarmouth. I don't need to spell that, do I?
No.
No, people exactly should know. Apart speak from that, it's mouth and not moth.
No.
In there.
Yeah. With a U, yeah.
Yeah, and you can follow us on Twitter as well. We're at Woolly Yarmouth, the same spelling, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Any bands that you want us to play in the future, you know, anything that you want us to bring up at any point, please feel free. And yeah, recorded at SoundArk again, SoundArk Studios in Shefford, Bedfordshire. www.soundark.com. You can like them on Facebook as well. And that's about it. Thanks very much for listening.
Bye.
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 It's the Woolly Yarmouth.